back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a punch it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
I thought my microphone was plugged in, but it's not. So I'm going to do that quick as we are introducing ourselves. But it's going pretty well, and I just had a huge brain fart to start things off there. So, you know. But what I was going to say before I realized I didn't even plug my microphone in was don't let the Flyers get hot because they are buzzing.
They are. I mean, right now they might be the best team in Philadelphia?
Yeah, right now they are. The last 2 weeks they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're currently pulling up the standings. You know, we touched on this a little bit last week, but they're currently in third place in the division. They trail the New York Islanders by a lonesome 1 point. So they're not even in a wild card spot. They're technically tied for a wild card spot with the Detroit Red Wings, but the Flyers do have an overall better record of 15-10-2. That's a .593 wins percentage for those who are paying attention at home. They've got a plus 10 goal differential. They're hockey 500 at Wells Fargo Center. It's 6-6-1, and they're 9-4-1 on the road away from the Wells Fargo Center, and they're currently on a 4-game winning streak. And they are ripping through the teams they're playing right now and, you know, not really complaining too much. Like we touched on last week, been a very fun, enjoyable hockey team to watch. Since we were last with you guys, the Flyers added on 2 more wins. The Arizona Coyotes out in the desert with a 4-1 win, and then go to Denver and just, I thought, for a full 60-minute effort, were the better hockey team over the Colorado Avalanche with a convincing 5-2 win. Carter Hart phenomenal in both games. You get clutch scoring from Travis Konecny again in both games. And, of course, one of his goals in the Avalanche game being on a penalty shot. All in all, Matt, like we've addressed, vibes are high.
Yeah, I mean, they've played, I would say they played, you know, just from the Flyers' point of view, they were definitely better in the Avalanche game than they were in Arizona.
Yes.
Arizona, you know, although it was a 4-1 win, I thought myself, and also, you know, you heard from Torts after the game that it was a very sloppy game. It was bad. It was not bad, but it was just a sloppy game by both teams. You know, the Flyers were the better of the worst teams that night, so to speak, which is good. You know, and ask how they ask how many, even, you know, an ugly win's a win nonetheless. But, you know, they get one in the desert, and that's after the Coyotes were, I believe they were on a 5-game winning streak against the 5 most recent Stanley Cup champions.
That would be correct.
Yeah. So, you know, they were hot, so to speak. Flyers were warming up, and, you know, they go into the desert. They go into the 5,000-seat Mullet Arena. And
which I've heard is an unreal place to go watch a game at.
It's probably really fun. I mean, watching an NHL game in a college arena is probably awesome.
I did hear some feedback. We did a friend of the podcast, Paul Thomas, goalie for Dump and Change Ice Hockey Club, was in attendance, and he said the nosebleed seats there sucked, but the lower bowl seats were phenomenal. Take that with what you will.
I feel like a nosebleed seat in a 5,000-seat arena isn't that bad, though.
Isn't really a nosebleed.
No. Like, I feel like a nosebleed would be a first level, like a lower level spot in some arenas or stadiums, you know. Yeah. I could be wrong. Anyway, we're not here to talk about stadium dimensions. We're here to talk about the Flyers being on a tear. Again, they are hands down the best Philadelphia sports team in the last 2 weeks. The Philadelphia Eagles, you know, are just...
It's a disgrace.
Hot garbage currently. Two weeks in a row, they've gotten smacked in the mouth by their opponents. Obviously, both, you know, big NFC games as well. You get spanked by the 49ers a couple weeks ago. And then, you know, just last night, they get spanked on national TV.
Sunday night.
Forgot to say it was Tuesday. They get spanked by their arch rivals, the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. I turned that game off at the, like, 10-minute mark of the first quarter, maybe. You know, once the Cowboys scored and the Eagles just couldn't do, you know, after that fake punt. The fake punt was, like, probably the highlight of the game for the Eagles. Other than that,
for sure,
you know, they put up, what, 14 points?
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah.
I was retweeting Mastro, as you know I'm going to do.
Pretty bad lately, so, you know, everyone has been... And see, this is the time when I am going to gatekeep the Flyers, because as much as we have just, you know, wailed on this team verbally over, you know, Twitter, Dave, looking at you, the at man over there.
Hey, listen, gotta hold those Twitter interns accountable, you know? Until they body me again.
Yeah. So I won't be surprised. And you might end up on one of those Eagles videos now if they collapse.
Eagles deserve it.
Yeah.
Flyers right now, at NHL _ Flyers, I love you. Yeah. No ill will at the present moment.
Love to see it, but... yeah, I mean, we've verbally just assaulted this team over the past few years, and
they deserved it, frankly.
Yeah, they did. But as we said last week, and as I'm saying now, it's nice to, you know, have positivity to look forward to. To come on here to talk about, you know, two great, well, one okay win, but another great win against, you know, one of the NHL's best teams in their own barn. So, you know, you love to see it, as I say. Everyone's been, you know, pitching in. Travis Sanheim, Sean Couturier, Travis Konechny's been unreal so far this year. Carter Hart's been great. Sam Harrison's been great. You know, pretty much everyone's been great for the most part. And you're seeing guys where the Flyers, you know, like other teams, they do the post game, give a guy a thing. I don't know what to call it. The player of the game award, so to speak. But they do the chain and the dog mask.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm saying, you know, so many times. But what I was going to say is that the guys that aren't scoring all the points necessarily are the ones that are getting these awards. So you see, like, Nick Delorier get it. You see Bobby Brink get it. I don't know if he had a point in the... Oh, he had a goal, didn't he? No, Farabee scored. But Brink had that assist on the goal in Colorado, right?
Yes.
Spinorama assist?
Yes.
Yep, okay.
From Farabee.
You're seeing, like,
yeah, he assisted Farabee's goal.
Yeah. But, you know, that's really all I can say. You know, I can go into more in depth, but I'm just, you know, riding the high of the vibes here and just loving what the players are saying, what coaches are saying, what everyone's saying. And I don't care, but, you know, I'm going to gatekeep the team and just be like, listen, I've been here since day one, and day one is being day one of me being a fan when I was, you know, 7 or 8 years old.
A small child.
Yeah, but been day one since, you know, New Era of Orange, so to speak, and also the dark ages of, you know, Hextall, Fletcher, Holmgren, all that jazz. So
bring it to Broad, fly or die.
Anytime, anywhere.
Oh, cringe.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen some shit.
We've seen some dark days in this franchise. And to have, you know, to look up and to see rays of sunshine, it's like, I know it's not, it's raining in the scene, but it's like when you look up, it's when Andy Dufresne looks up when he escapes Shawshank.
Phenomenal.
It's like that sort of feeling. Obviously, you know, that they haven't done anything by any means, but just the fact that they're fun and entertaining and they're winning, you know, for the time being is great. We're going to enjoy it as much as we can. So, you know, in summation, it's just good to have good. It's good to have good vibes. The Flyers are buzzing. And, you know, my signature catchphrase is you love to see it.
And being, you know, our catchphrase, cautiously optimistic.
I'm just going to throw a caution in the wind at this point. I don't even care.
You're just optimistic. I mean, right now, I mean, the Flyers are, they're a good hockey team. You know, they are outperforming everyone's expectations. I mean, even the national media on this week's first episode of 32 Thoughts with Jeff Merrick and Elliot Friedman. Elliot Friedman went on the record saying, I was wrong about the Philadelphia Flyers, and Jeff Merrick, you were right. You know, it's really been, they still lack that, like, superstar, elite high-end talent. You hope it's coming with Michkov and potentially Cutter Gauthier, but you're still seeing, like, looking at this list of players on the roster, you're seeing stars being born. I mean, arguably, Sean Couturier, former Selke Trophy winning Sean Couturier, was a star. I would argue he's back to form, and I would say he is playing at a level of being a top-line center, Selke Trophy-winning caliber-esque hockey player. And I would say, as of right now, he should be a finalist for the Selke Trophy. And also, offensively, not too shabby. In 25 games played, 6 goals, 13 assists for 19 points, and he's a +8. That is typical, as we've known over the past 6 years, Sean Couturier. No complaints there. Then you've seen this emergence of Travis Sanheim this year, finally being given the reins and the ropes to be a number one defenseman with the departure of Ivan Provorov. And he's got 20 points in 27 games played. He's a -8, but, you know, plus minus really doesn't, it means something, but it doesn't really mean something in hockey. When you look at statistics, it's kind of like an empty stat. It's like the luck stat, essentially. But, I mean, for a defenseman who's always, you've always thought we can get more from him, he's finally giving us that more, and I'm all here for it. Thank God Tory Krug said no this summer when the Flyers tried to trade Sanheim to the St. Louis Blues, because as of right now, watching both of those players play, I'm glad we kept Sanheim. Because if he was doing this in St. Louis, we'd be going, God damn it, another one.
Yep.
And then now you've got Travis Konechny, who early on in his career, and even after the Flyers drafted him, there were a lot of concerns about, does he have an NHL caliber shot? People were doubting if he could score at a hot rate in the National Hockey League. They knew he had the passing skills and the hockey sense skills, but was he going to be able to score goals at a high-end rate in the National Hockey League? And over these past 2 years, that's what the man's doing. He's become an excellent two-way forward and a sniper. In 27 games played this year, he has 16 goals. He's got 7 assists for 23 points. He's a +12, and he's amongst the league leaders in goals scored. Like, we're witnessing, he's on pace for 48 goals this year, which would be the most a Flyers player has scored since Jeff Carter, I think, got 45 in the 2008-2009 season. To give you some perspective there, Mastro, 2008-2009 was my senior year of high school. That's how long it's been since the Flyers have had a 40-goal scorer. Insane. And now, besides those three clipping at their high rate that they're doing, you're seeing a Joel Farabee respond to John Tortorella. He's now got 17 points, 10 of them being goals in 27 games played. Owen Tippett, again, 17 points in 27 games played, 9-8. Cam Atkinson, he's kind of been quiet after a hot start, but Bobby Brink's getting in the mix. Scott Laughton is kind of returning to form, as I know we criticized him just a couple weeks ago. Tyson Forrester is finally finding his game again, and I'm really, really excited for what Tyson Forrester can become. I think with how good his shot is,
yeah,
I think he could become a similar player to Travis Konecny, but maybe even a little bit better defensively. Like, there's a lot to be excited about here, and you know, this I'm tying this in, Matt, to kind of where I'm going with, because there is still a very, very large section of the fan base online on a certain website that could be still called Twitter, called X by some, that still think that the Flyers should be absolutely, without a doubt, tanking, picking top five, sucking, selling off any great asset, and they should just be doing that. And that's never been in the Flyers' DNA. And you're never going to get that from Danny Briere or Keith Jones or John Tortorella or any of these players on this staff. The Flyers have never been known one to tank. They've always tried to get some really good draft picks in a couple of years, and they build on the team from there after getting some of those lucky, nice picks through free agency, through trades. Like, how did Danny Briere end up becoming our general manager? Because the Flyers signed him in free agency in 2007. Or 2007, 2008. They signed him in free agency. You know, how did we get Keith Jones in the organization? A trade with the Colorado Avalanche. You know, how did we get Chris Pronger for those years where we were contending with those good teams? A trade with the Anaheim Ducks. How did we get Eric Lindros? You see the trend I'm going here with? So the Flyers have never been a team to tank and then rebuild in the stereotypical type of way. They suck, they get some good pieces, and they build on those pieces, and they go from there. Because I feel like the people who think the Flyers should be tanking are the people who think, oh, to win the Stanley Cup in 2023, you need to be the Colorado Avalanche. You need to have, you know, a Nathan MacKinnon, a Cale Makar, a Mikko Rantanen, and a Gabriel Landeskog. You need to have four bona fide superstars. Okay, well, yeah, Colorado did that, but they also were very, very bad for a very, very, very long time in a market that could kind of honestly tolerate that type of badness. Philadelphia couldn't do that. But then you also, like, they got incredibly lucky as well. I mean, I love the Avalanche. They're my Western Conference team. Been knowing that several times in this podcast. But you look at a similar team that's, quote, built with superstars in the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, they've got Austin Matthews. They have Mitch Marner. They have William Nylander. They have Morgan Riley. They have John Tavares. But what have they won? Jack shit. They haven't won a damn thing. They've won one round since 2004 in the playoffs.
That was their Stanley Cup, man.
That's all they've done. So, and I feel like all this negativity and this big sect of the fan base, well, guess what? Just how the fan base in Philadelphia is educated and pays attention to things, the athletes are now too. Because this, Carter Hart was quoted as saying this after the Flyers win in Denver over the Avalanche Friday night. I don't think anyone wants us to win. That definitely fires us up and fuels the fire to prove everyone wrong. It just strengthens our belief in each other. Everyone's willing to fight for the guy next to them. So the fact that you have, quite frankly, your franchise-level goaltender, who I would say has been a star since he came into the league, since the Flyers really drafted him, you know, the goalie that's your key to the future, is saying that, and it does feel very, it's that typical, you know, us against the world mentality, like, you know, F them.
Yeah.
But it really does go up to show that the players are seeing all these quote unquote negative Nancys online And it's really, it's time, you know, people disagree with him, rightfully so. That is your right. We do live in the United States of America, and we have that ability to free speech, and you can disagree all you want. But, you know, the negative Nancys, people really do remember the negative more than they remember the positive. It's very much, what have you done for me lately? And it's just kind of a message to these people who just don't want to have fun right now. I get where they're coming from, because they might be thinking, is this 2020 all over again? Like, do we really think we're taking a step forward? Then come the next year, we're taking two steps backward. I get where they're coming from, but I feel as though, me personally, and I was feeling a little bit towards this way in the beginning of the year, Matt. You know, I can remember you and I talking about this very topic.
Yep.
I just feel as though this truly does feel different to me. You know, it's a different group of players. It's a much younger core of players. The older players, the locker room cancers per se, they're gone. They've been removed per Briere and Keith Jones. They went with this team that they're going with. And frankly, you know, they've been asked multiple times, Jonesy and Briere, does the team's success now change your plan? And they've said no. Because at the end of the day, their goal is to build a contending team for many years to come. And right now, I personally don't think, while there's kind of still in this rebuild per se, a Flyers rebuild, winning's the best thing for it, because winning builds good habits and it teaches young kids how to play. It teaches these quote unquote young kids how to play winning National Hockey League hockey. So I am done being overly concerned about the Flyers. I go into every game now that I watch at home with a high spirit, thinking they have a chance to win. And if they lose, it's going because, oh, X, Y, and Z happened. If they win, A, B, and C happened. If it's a so-so game, okay, here was their flaws. But you can clearly tell that they're learning from the mistakes, they're building on them, and they're being held accountable not only by Briere and Jonesy, but also by John Tortorella.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest problem in regards to losing has been them kind of finding new ways to lose. It was either that, or they would just, you know, flat out look like they would give up. But
the biggest thing, you haven't seen that this year.
No. The biggest thing is, again, you know, they've been fun to watch. They've been entertaining. They seem like they're just having fun. But, you know, and I'm going to call back to this because, again, that's, you know, that's what it's been lacking is – the team's got balls, and, you know, so someone along the way after 2020 clipped the Flyers' balls because, you know, we saw teams, granted, you know, they had guys like Simmons, obviously Giroux, you know, they had some, you know, like muscle, and those guys individually, you know, were great. They were like the backbone of the team, would, you know, but, you know, Simmons leaves. Who else? Giroux's gone, you know.
They traded Voracek for Atkinson.
Traded Voracek, yeah. Like, you know, the last of what was an old guard was gone. And then it was like, you know, even guys like Lawton being, I wouldn't call Lawton a straight up tough guy, but again, he's a guy who can, you know, hold his own, be physical, that type of stuff, you know. Remember him getting, like, borderline suplexed on the ice one time, and, you know, no one did anything. Like, the Flyers didn't stand up for each other. They didn't defend each other. They didn't, you know, play for one another, whether it was someone gets hurt blocking a shot and, you know, you go extra hard the next shift for the guy, or someone on another team takes a cheap shot at him or something like that, and you kind of give, you know, give him a nudge. Now you see, like, the team, whether it's, you know, physically – they have, like, the heart, like, not Carter Hart, but Hart, like, you know, having the grit, the balls. They got guts. Like, they have their mojo back. And as long as they can play with that, then I'm okay with them, you know. I would love to see the odds of them winning the Stanley Cup this year. I believe that this is tough. the blindly loyal fan in me says, hell yeah, we're going to the Cup. But the educated, more tame fan of me says, I mean, again, I have no idea what's going to happen with this year. We've talked about it already where there's no captain for, you know, multiple reasons. There could be guys that we trade at the deadline, but that's the thing is, like, everyone's too ahead of themselves where let's just enjoy the now.
Like, yeah.
In this moment, the Flyers, granted they have a game in, you know, less than an hour in Nashville against the Predators, but it's like, and it sounds like, you know, very hippy-dippy, but it's like, live in the now, like, from Wayne's World. But that's what you have to do. I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's not, you know, it's not March. It's not April. It's not, it's mid-December. Like, by mid-December, the last, what, five seasons, this team was already dead in the water.
Except for 2020. This is when they started to surge.
Yeah.
But the past, definitely the past 3 years.
Yes.
You know, it's been, it was definitely the past two seasons. Actually, no, the past three, because it was December of 2019 when they started that surge before the pandemic. They've been a fish out of water, dead, dried in the mud by this point.
Yep.
And
so
they are very much in the mix right now, and it's refreshing.
And, you know, I mean, Flyers Twitter is a whole different section of this fan base. People on there,
there's some nut jobs.
There's people on there that are just going to find anything to be upset about. They're like the Karens of hockey. Like, you know, you're going to find something to be upset about. You're going to complain about it, and you're going to hope someone hears it, and you're going to hope that you're heard. That's, again, you know, an overarching problem with social media is that the wrong people have the soapbox, so to speak. So, but that's, I mean, that's another thing too, me personally, where I am not very active on Twitter anymore just because, you know, ever since it became X officially, it just seems like a complete, excuse my language, shit show. But, like, and it's mentally exhausting too, just going on there and having people constantly seeing, you know, oh, this guy sucks, or oh, this guy. It's like, all right, I have to see this from, you know, 400 different people. This isn't fun. Like,
yeah.
So, but that's just me. But, you know, that's going to be any team in any sport. People are going to be negative Nancy's no matter what. But, I mean, Hart, you know, good for Hart. You know, if this team wants to stick it to him, so to speak, that's great, because then it gives them motivation to say, hey, you know, F you, like, we're good now. Like, and if you can't handle that, then don't be a fan. Like,
yeah, I've got no problem with it.
Like, if you call yourself a fan of this team and you're constantly just bringing them down or undermining them,
are you really a fan?
Go root for someone else. I don't want you in the Wells Fargo Center, because then that's one less ticket that someone who actually, you know, cares about this team, or, you know, is working hard to scrounge together money for a ticket, something like that, or trying to bring their family or something like that. They sure as hell deserve it more than you do, where if you're going to come and be like, oh, boo, you guys suck, like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, get the hell out. Like, we don't want you here. Like, so, I don't know. If I'm all for Carter Hart and all the players just, like, you know, subtly taking jabs at the people that, you know, don't believe in this team and don't believe what they can be capable of. Because, you know, if you don't believe in the team that you love, why do you love them?
Like, yeah, what's the point of being a fan if you're just going to be negative all the time?
Yeah. So,
and I know that is some strong words coming from me, who spent all of Sunday evening negative at tweeting the Eagles all night. To be fair, they deserved it. You know, to be a fan is to show
you're a case by case basis, Dave.
I mean, we talked about this earlier. You know, I have been known to get bodied by certain professional sports teams. Social media in terms from time to time, you know, it has happened, but, you know, they don't see the good that I tweet at them, unfortunately. You know, to be a fan is to show that you care. Sometimes we care a little bit too much. Yeah. And I'll full on admit that. But this is a teams, plural, if you want to throw the Eagles in there with the Flyers, that I have literally bled for. You know, I have their logos on my body. That's how much of a quote-unquote fan I am. But you know, it all has to be to within a certain degree. Like, you can't, I feel as though, like, I'm very much, I toe the line. I'm not crossing it. I'm not being the guy showing up to the Eagles practice center with trash cans with Bradberry and Darius Slay's name on them saying fire Desai. I'm not going to that level of crazy. I have no problem negative at tweeting the team, but then also then following up with a good shit after a good play happens. It's all about that fair balance. There's light and there's dark.
I mean, I'm sure there's people that are tweeting a lot worse things than criticism.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Twitter has become a complete cesspool.
Yeah.
And mainly the biggest reason why I'm still on this site as much as I am is because, one, it's still the best place to keep up on all the hockey happenings from all the big beat reporters. And also it's where we have our biggest following for our podcast.
Yep.
So gotta keep the pod page up and running to get our podcast out there to the people that don't, you know, necessarily subscribe to our local sources, which I'm going to use this as a plug to subscribe to our podcast, please, on Spotify. That's how we make mucho dinero. Actually, not mucho dinero, just dinero, plural, dinero.
Hey, money's money.
Any way we can take it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you can debate about fans all day, but, at the end of the day...
Every fan's going to think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Everyone thinks they're a GM.
I mean, that would be my literal dream job. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's mid-December. The Flyers are in a playoff spot. They're one of the better teams in the Metropolitan Division. They're above the standings to the Devils and the Penguins. So double love both of those things. And we're going to ride this ride and see where it goes. Could they, in a month, go on a terrible long losing streak and be out of the playoff picture? Sure. Could they keep on playing at the tick they're at and be a convincing bubble team and maybe go on a little bit of a run in the postseason? Yeah. You never know what can happen. That's the wonderful thing about hockey and the NHL playoffs. With how things go, the Philly Sports PHLY podcast with Bill Matz and Charlie O'Connor, shout out, but no free ads, address this. With how the NHL playoffs are set up, the Flyers probably will end up playing a Metropolitan team in the first round. And the Flyers, except for the Rangers, have played the Metro pretty well this year. So you see what happens.
Yeah. But Dave, you know, with that being said, I think that wraps up our Flyers coverage for the week. The Flyers do play we'll go over the next couple games here.
Yes.
As I navigate the trenches of the NHL app.
I do have their schedule up if you need me to.
I got it. Hold on a second. Come on.
Again, we'll take this opportunity to just take an absolute massive dump on the new NHL app, NHL.com. Just absolute. Talk about going two steps backward.
Yeah. But, so the Flyers, again, you know, they play in just about 40 minutes here in Nashville against the Predators. Their next game is Thursday night, which I will be boots on the ground for in the Wells Fargo Center against the Washington Capitals. I got a lower level seat for $60.
No, I was looking at tickets today, Matt, and I have off this Friday. I had to use the last of my sick PTO time for a mental health day before it expired for the end of the year. So with having off Friday, I might be joining you down there. I'm gonna have to see how ticket prices look.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you wait till day of, I'm sure they'll drop.
I might wait till like 4 o'clock on Thursday and see what happens.
Do that. Drive down and then just buy a ticket, you know, a half hour before the game.
Just sit in the parking lot, pay for parking, just scroll stuff up. Again, that's, no free ads.
Hey, I've done that before with other stuff.
Oh, we all have. I remember one time you and I, this is way back in the day. I think this is back in like 2011. You texted me, hey, I have no one to go to the Flyers game with me. I just bought a single ticket. Do you want to come down with me and just see what happens? And I think I bought a ticket on the train. On the orange line.
Yeah.
Those were the good old days.
Yeah, back when life was simpler.
Yes, we were just working at the good old winter sport.
Yeah. So they come home on Thursday against the Washington Capitals, and then they have a Saturday evening game against the Red Wings, once again in Philadelphia. And then Tuesday the 19th, they play in the beautiful city of Newark, New Jersey.
Note the sarcasm.
Yep, against the Devils. And then they play once again against the Nashville Predators on Thursday the 21st. By that time, we will definitely be back with you to wrap up our pre-holiday coverage.
Yes.
For Christmas and New Year's. Obviously, you know, Hanukkah is winding down here. Tonight is the sixth night of Hanukkah. So, you know, we're on the back end of the Hanukkah calendar. But, yeah, I mean, some good games to look forward to for the Flyers, and just hoping that they can, you know, keep it up.
Yeah, I feel like the real testament is we've always kind of said we've known where the team's going to go each year, knowing how the Disney on Ice trip has gone. The Flyers this year, frankly, looking at their schedule for the Disney on Ice trip, it's pretty easy compared to years past. Their big test is Vancouver. However, a team they've already shut out earlier this year. Then they've got the Seattle Kraken, who are not what they were last year. And then they have the Calgary Flames, a team not very good right now on New Year's Eve. And then when you get into January, I mean, then they close it out by playing the Edmonton Oilers. And yet again, another team they've already beaten this year. So I'm looking at their schedule right now, and based on my gut feelings, I see a lot more wins than I do losses.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I like the optimism.
I'm just the only really game where there's two games. Well, actually, I guess, no, there's only two games where I'm like, you know what, this could be a little hairy. And that's New Jersey and Edmonton. The Vancouver, well, they do have some high-end elite talent. They're not as hot as they were in the beginning of the season. Detroit stinks. Nashville, I mean, we should handle them, I think, fairly. Seattle stinks. Calgary stinks. And then Edmonton just has Draisaitl and McDavid. And they're on a heater right now. So we'll see what happens.
That we will. And with that, Dave, like I said, we will wrap up our Flyers coverage for the week. And we just have a couple things to touch base with around the league this week. Let's see. Where am I going here? Latest. There we go. Oh, that's cool. Let me find my article that I was going to go to. All right, so up first tonight, we have the Battle of the Connors. In case you didn't know, newly drafted number one overall pick and, you know, sensation, Connor Bedard of the Chicago Blackhawks will face off against the other Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers. Both arguably, you know, can you call Bedard the best player in the league?
I mean, I still think McDavid and McKinnon are the two best players in the league currently. But I mean, Bedard is scoring at a similar place, at a similar pace than what McDavid did in his rookie year. So he's not too far off if he keeps on becoming what he thinks we're going to. He's not too far from becoming what we think he can become. It sucks he's doing the sweater it's in, but.
Yeah. But so the Connors will face off head-to-head in the NHL for the first time when the Chicago Blackhawks visit the Edmonton Oilers tonight at Rogers Place at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. On Tuesday, Edmonton is on a 7-game winning streak after defeating the New Jersey Devils 4-1 on Sunday. However, this is not the first time they've been on the ice together. Each skated at the BioSteel No Free Ads camp run in the offseason by retired NHL forward Gary Roberts. Gary Roberts obviously being a famous trainer for guys like McDavid, Bedard, Sidney Crosby, all those type of, you know, generational talents. So Bedard leads all rookies with 23 points in 27 games, and he had two assists and a 4-2 loss to the Washington Capitals on Sunday. McDavid. Bedard is on point, or who? Bedard is on pace. There we go. For 70 points this season, and if he stays healthy, would be the front runner for the Calder Trophy as well for Rookie of the Year. McDavid was kind of funny. I saw like a little press conference clip. I think it was probably either morning skate or sometime last night. But someone asked him, obviously, about, you know, facing off against Bedard and if he had any advice. And he just kind of laughed and was like, I've been asked this question 1,000 times already. Like, we don't really give out advice for each other around the league. Like, I'm sure this dude is just so tired of being asked the same question. So good on McDavid for, like, you know, not blowing off the reporters, but just also kind of blowing them off. Like, dude, you really expect me to give this guy advice when I'm going head-to-head against him in, you know, a game that could somehow make a difference in the fact that if I make it to a playoffs or not down the road, like, I'm not going to give him any advice about how to beat me.
Yeah, no.
So, but, you know, I'm sure it'll be interesting to see. I guess the Flyers probably won't be over until around 11 tonight. Maybe I'll watch the first part of that game, too.
You might be able to just slide on over to the Flyers right over to the Chicago-Edmonton game.
Very true, very true. But, Dave, your thoughts on the Battle of the Connors coming up tonight?
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's battles of two high-end elite franchise face of the league talent. I fully expect Edmonton to absolutely shit-kick the Chicago Blackhawks. Blackhawks, just because the Blackhawks literally have nobody else besides Bedard, with Taylor Hall being hurt and Corey Perry gone. Yeah, they don't really just have any talent outside that. And the Oilers are they're back. The fact that when they were sucking, McDavid was nowhere. He was like a 20th in league scoring, and now he's near the top of the league again. It's crazy what they're doing, and Draisaitl's firing on all cylinders. Darnell Nurse is becoming the elite defenseman they thought he could become. And biggest of all, they're getting good goaltending from Stuart Skinner, which is something they desperately needed. So I definitely think that it's going to be the McDavid show this evening. I mean, Bedard might do something, but I just feel as though the Oilers are going to say "Nyet" today to the Blackhawks.
I thought I was going to sneeze there. Sorry.
Dude, that's the worst. That nose tickle, you can just feel it like in the top of your nose and your eyes.
I tried to look up at the light, too, and it didn't do anything.
It's brutal. It's brutal. Brutal stuff.
Speaking of, I can't segue congestion into something else. what I was going to say is the last point. Here we go. Speaking of points, the last point of discussion I have for tonight with Around the League is one, John Tavares, captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, reached the 1,000th point mark yesterday. Yeah.
It's Monday, December 11th.
Yes. With a goal and an assist in the Maple Leafs 4-3 overtime loss to the New York Islanders at UBS Arena in Elmont, New York. 33-year-old center reached the milestone with an assist on Morgan Riley's game-tying goal with 7 seconds left in the third period to make it 3-3. Tavares said, quote, "It was a bit surreal. It wasn't pretty, so I just wanted to make sure that it was correct that I had an assist. I had a good feeling that I just had a net front presence, and it just went off me, so it helped lead to a big point for us." Obviously, he said, "You want to celebrate in a win, but I'm proud of it. In certain ways, you're kind of just happy it's happened and you can move forward, and there'll be a time and place to kind of soak it in a little bit more." So a little bit of a bummer that he does it, you know, in a loss, but I think it's pretty sweet, and it's kind of funny that he does it against the team that now hates him in the New York Islanders. And I'm sure they didn't really have, you know, the most loving and kind reaction if they announced it on the Jumbotron.
They did. He got booed like pretty badly.
Oh god.
I mean, at this point, Islanders fans are just being just full on blown crybabies and negative fancies about it. Like, the dude left your organization because you've been nothing but a joke since you won your four cups in the 80s. You've had a history of losing and playing boring, dull hockey.
Yeah.
Now, to be said, he did then go and sign with the Toronto Maple Leafs, who haven't really won anything since the 1960s, but they do at least play a brand of hockey that is watchable.
Yeah.
So there is that. And also probably more fun to play. Just playing for a Lou Lamoriello GM'd team, you know, doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. Because I can tell you, when I watch the New York Islanders, I don't have fun watching them play. So I can't imagine having to play in that system would be a lot of fun either. So good for JT.
I can't.
Stick it to the idiot Islanders fans.
The only time I'll watch the Islanders is if they're playing the Flyers or if they're lose it or if they, you know, hopefully lose to someone in the playoffs.
I just at all, like, I try to avoid watching the Islanders at all costs just because they're just Michael Scott to Toby.
They're just boring.
The worst.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, congratulations, John Tavares, on your 1,000th point. You know, I don't know if you'll get 1,000 more. Oh, another thing, too. On Saturday, Patrick Kane scored his first goal as a Detroit Red Wing. Absolute nip. I was watching the game live, which was cool.
Before Ottawa proceeded to stomp on them.
Yeah. So that was one of the only bright spots for the Red Wings that night. Glad to see that Dylan Larkin was okay after a little bit of a scary incident where he got knocked out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's on IR right now.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it's not LTIR.
Yeah, and then I think I saw David Perron got suspended 6 games for
he did his for cross the check. For the cross check that he did after the play.
I think he cross checked the wrong dude too.
Yeah, and then the guy who hit Larkin hasn't received any discipline yet.
Yeah, it was such a weird play. Like,
it was.
I mean, it was scary that he got knocked out, but like, it just didn't seem like. It didn't seem malicious to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You can debate this all you want, because, you know, anything looks worse when you slow it down, but it just seemed like such a, like a bang-bang play, and then next thing you know, he just, like, collapsed onto the ice, and you're like, oh, damn, he's out cold. Like,
yeah.
So, but, you know, go ahead.
No, I do agree that with this, I think Perron should have gotten a suspension of some type. That's a blatant cross check to the head. That is blatant intent to injure.
Yeah.
6 games, a little excessive.
Yeah.
Considering Jacob Trouba swung his stick at a player's head and got no games. Brendan Smith did a slash, which was an intent to injure, and he got 2 games. You know, 2 games would have been acceptable for this. This did not need to be 6. And it's just yet again. Alan Walsh, who is Perron's client, was going off on Twitter today about it. And even some Detroit players were like, when Chicklets announced the suspension, some Detroit players were retweeting Chicklets going 6 games.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, literally the George Parros led Department of Player Safety going, spin the wheel. What's the suspension land on this time?
Yep.
There's just no clarity. There's no concise results. And they're just bad at their jobs.
Yeah, I mean, that's been, you know, player safety for as long as we can remember, Dave. So
it was at least better under Shanny. Like, at least he was consistent with being bad. Because you just don't know what you're going to get with George Parros. And he's usually going to get it wrong, though. Like, that you're pretty certain of.
He's right about being wrong. Yeah. That's what he's right about. He's right about being wrong. So, but with that being said, I'm in desperate need of having to grab a tissue to blow my nose because I feel very congested right now. I think the constant changing of the weather over the past couple of days has been brutally killing me allergy-wise.
Yes.
So, gonna go do that. But Dave, first, take it away as usual and, you know, wrap us up for the week and put a bow on things for the holiday season.
Yes, so with that, everyone, this is our little bit of time of the podcast where I tell all of you lovely listeners that if you like what we do, check out our affiliates in the Pod Street Bullies. They are pumping out weekly excellent content as per always. So again, if you listen to us, please do also sauce them a follow. But yeah, with that, everyone, Matt Stroh and I will be back next week for one podcast before taking our annual holiday/New Year break while Mastro goes off and visits family and also covers the Sugar Bowl. Not a big deal. So, everyone, with that, you know, good night, good hockey, and let's go Flyers.